Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blitz Football Podcast. I welcome all you football fans in to another great episode. We got so much in store today, breaking down all the NFL CBA drama. I mean, talk about drama. This new CBA deal, tons of stuff going on. A lot of players don't like it. A lot of players do like it. I mean, it's a split decision. The owners obviously have voted with it, but we'll break that all down later in the show. We got a lot going down at the Combine. The free agency is just a frenzy, but it is kind of fuzzy. A lot of these guys could get franchise tagged, and we'll break that down today, as today is the day that franchise tags can go into effect. The XFL last week was a blast. A lot of big games, a lot of big scores. We'll be breaking down all of week three. We'll be going over the stats, the scores, everything that went into week three, as well as the attendance numbers, which are doing well as in comparison to the TV numbers. XFL week four coming up. You're going to get all my picks against the spread and so much more. So stick in store. You're listening to the Blitz Football Podcast. Let's get it going. Alrighty, welcome to another episode of the Blitz Football Podcast. Before we get going here, I would like to announce that we are on Facebook, officially with our page on Facebook. So if you're out there, follow us on Facebook. It is the Blitz Football Network. You can get access to all the articles that go onto the Blitz.guru, the official website of the Blitz Football Podcast. I put as much as I can out there as I can. And it's a really interesting site with a lot of football content. So definitely go check it out and follow us on Facebook, like I said, at the Blitz Football Network. Before we get going here, like we do every week, we do the week in review where we break down all the biggest headlines and stories from this last week. And some of this stuff comes from just 30 minutes before I started recording this. So a lot of this stuff is just rattling out. But that's the joy of the NFL offseason. So without a further ado, let's get it rolling with the week in review. Alrighty, first things first is arguably the biggest story of the whole NFL offseason, and that is Mr. Tom Brady himself. It seems like it's more than likely that he's played his last season as a New England Patriot. NFL insider Jeff Darlington told ESPN's Get Up on Thursday morning that Brady told people very close to him that he was going somewhere else. And this goes along with a lot of reports saying that the Patriots brass have not reached out to Brady in regards to contract negotiations. And so now, like Darlington said, we really need to wrap our heads around the fact that it's more than likely that Tom Brady will not be a New England Patriot going forward. It's a great statement, like I said, that he said on Get Up. And it's very true, myself included, that I have to start thinking that Tom Brady is not going to be a New England Patriot. A lot of us out there, I mean, Patriots fans, the joke was that, you know, he's going to be a cyborg and play for the Patriots forever and win a million Super Bowls. But it seems like for his actual NFL career, he's not even going to finish as a New England Patriot, and he's going to go find another team. A lot of teams now are going to be in the mix. Teams that have been reported already were like the Raiders, who have reportedly offered him a two-year, $60 million contract, or will offer him when free agency begins here in March. You got the Titans in the mix with Mike Vrabel. You got the Buccaneers possibly in the mix with Jameis Winston on the fence with what they're going to do with his career and what they're going to do with his contract. So, and then you got the Chargers and numerous other teams. I mean, I bet you teams like the Broncos and teams, I bet you even the Chicago Bears. I mean, if I were the Bears, I would be reaching out to the New England, to Tom Brady. So I think most, if not half the league is going to be reaching out to Tom Brady. It's going to be an interesting NFL offseason and see where this free agency frenzy rattles out. And then it's going to be really interesting come next season where it goes with Tom Brady and if he is able and capable of carrying a team to the playoffs and to the next level. So definitely something to keep your thumb on and keep your finger on the pulse of. But Tom Brady may actually be out of New England this offseason and be shopping in the free agency market. So definitely get used to it. It's going to be a fun next couple months if you follow the NFL offseason. Another one that came out recently is that Ron Rivera said at the NFL Combine that everything is an option for the Redskins at number two. This is a very interesting statement because I have them currently in my mock draft taking defensive end Chase Young out of Ohio State. I'm looking at kind of where they can go with that defense and kind of where they can move with that top pick. You saw the Niners with Bosa. I'm getting an elite pass rusher early in the draft has proven really well for a lot of teams recently in the last few years. So, but it's very interesting. They could possibly go for a guy like Tua. At number two, they could get anybody, really. If the Bengals don't end up going for Joe Burrow, I mean, which let's be honest, if they don't go for Joe Burrow, I mean, the Bengals should be just be pushed up to the CFL or something. I mean, come on. I mean, you need a quarterback. He's there. I get the drama around it with Joe Burrow. And if Joe Burrow wants to go and be a New England, maybe he wants to be a New England Patriot. But if he wants to go and be a Cincinnati Bengal and then that, all that stuff. But I think at the end of the day, when it really comes down to it, that first pick is going to be Joe Burrow to the Bengals. And there's really going to be nothing about it. But so this is really interesting for new coach Ron Rivera, who recently was let go from the Carolina Panthers and really quickly picked up by the Washington Redskins. So it's interesting, especially because the Redskins have players there. They have Dwayne Haskins, and they have a group of quarterbacks that they're working with already. So it is interesting that they're kind of shopping around. But you know, when you're a new coach and you're coming into a situation with a new team, you kind of want to kind of put your own mix on it. So I don't blame Ron Rivera. He's going to leave all his options open, but definitely an interesting thing to look at if you're a Redskins fan. Another thing on the docket is the XFL. It's doing well, people. The XFL is doing well. The Las Vegas Raiders reportedly on the Just Blog Baby page. I love the name of this page. Just Blog Baby. Gotta love that. And for all the Raiders fans out there. But the Las Vegas Raiders are potentially going to have 5 training camp invites from the XFL. So that's a big thing for the XFL. I mean, and we saw the AAF have great success once it crumbled and you know, and went under. A lot of those players went on to the NFL and even played in a couple games last season. So I see the Raiders, you know, I see the Raiders reaching out to the XFL as a really good thing for the XFL. I mean, attendance is up, relatively up. When you look at some places, it's not so good, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But as for being a league that's going to be getting players to the next level and a stepping stone league, this is a really good story coming out. I mean, that's a good number, and I bet you if you look across the league, number of other teams in their regional markets are looking at some of these XFL teams, especially like the Houston Texans. They have to have eyes on the Houston Roughnecks and everything going on. I mean, PJ Walker and that whole offense is just electric. So if any of those teams in the Texas area have their eyes on them, and especially the rest of the NFL. So really an interesting story there, but it proves that the XFL is doing well. And if they can continue funding, which Vince McMahon is a solid funding source. That's one thing that a lot of people get misconstrued with the AAF and the XFL, and they're like, oh, the AAF, you know, lost interest in this and that. I mean, it really didn't. I mean, it did have a dip in attendance, and that we'll get into as well later. But the AAF really just got its funding pulled just out of nowhere, and it got caught up in bad deals and really was rushed in a way, and possibly was rushed to try to get in front of this, you know, impending XFL. But spring football has grown in success and has become a lot more popular in the last few years, and the XFL definitely is showing force in that, and they really could become a stepping stone league for the NFL, and they're doing well. So I think they should just continue with what they're doing, and oh gosh, continue with what they're doing and just keep going with it. I mean, at the end of the day, you can only serve to how many fans you have and keep building on that. It's not going to be super successful in the first few years. I mean, but the AAF had success pretty comparable to what the XFL has. So, I mean, a lot of people dock on it, but it's doing well. And if more players have success in the NFL that come from the XFL, it will continue to do even better. So, definitely good stuff to see from the XFL. One kind of weird story to see coming out of the XFL, to continue with a little bit of that XFL news, is the Vipers quarterback Quentin Flowers, who had a pretty good game. If you watched the Vipers Vipers game this last weekend, had a pretty good game, but he mysteriously left the team this last week over personal reasons. And a lot of the you know, faculty don't really know why he's left, but he's been frustrated with his role in the Vipers offense and in the kind of his quarterback rotation, which is one thing to note in this, is I wasn't very happy with that quarterback rotation because I felt like he was playing pretty darn well, and to pull him out in that kind of situation where I felt like the team was really jiving with him as a player, as their quarterback and as the leader of the offense, I really didn't like the rotation. But I know that's kind of how Tressman runs that Vipers offense. But he's got a lot of stuff going on personally, and some personal, you know, discretion. So he left the team mysteriously last Wednesday, and hasn't returned. So definitely something to keep your eye on. But I can kind of agree a little bit to an extent, because I thought the same thing when I was watching the game. I thought, oh wow, this team is really kind of catching pace with this new quarterback coming in here. This is, you know, you could just tell he's got some fluidity with these receivers and they really got going, and you're like, oh wow, this Vipers team. But then he gets pulled out and you're like, oh, and they still played well, but it's like, you can't, when you do the rotation like that, it's hard for an offense to build momentum. So we'll see if he comes back. We'll see if he goes to another team. We'll see if there's possibly an off-season invite from an NFL team. Who possibly knows? But like I said earlier in the show, last thing before we wrap up the week in review, today marks the day where franchise tags can go into effect. So we will get into that a little bit later, about a little bit. Some players I feel like could be franchise tagged this offseason, and guys that are, you know, on the bubble for free agency. But other than that, that is your week in review. Let's get it on with the show. All righty, now next thing we're going to get into, or the, you know, I guess first thing we're going to get into in today's show, is really the biggest thing going on in the NFL right now, and is going to be the biggest story until it's resolved, and that is the NFL CBA. And before I get to, you know, what players are, you know, against it and the reasons they're against it, I feel like it's only fair that we kind of go into what this CBA is about and some of the details in this new deal. Obviously, a lot of people know that in the new CBA that they're looking to expand to 17 regular season games. And that the rosters will expand by two players. So that's going to be from 53 to 55, with 48 players able to dress for games rather than the current 46. Practice squad sizes would rise from 10 players to 12, and eventually will be on the rise to 14. So bringing more players in, and this is a good thing, like I, you know, just said about the XFL, having an opportunity to have players get in. I mean, they're opening up more opportunities through practice squad, through the regular roster. So expanding the roster to have more players, and that's obviously to kind of take in for that extra game. The new deal would also include an expanded playoff setup of 14 teams, with only the top seed in each conference receiving a first-round bye, and the new postseason format would go into effect likely this upcoming season. Now, this is the one detail in this new CBA that I'm personally a little fuzzy on. I like our current playoff format. I don't really like the expanded playoff. And I'll really get into this kind of thing with, because a lot of people said, oh, well, you know, if we had the expanded playoff last year, the Steelers and Rams would have made it in. Well, okay, did we need the Steelers and Rams in the playoffs? The Steelers were fighting to stay alive. They had the Mason Rudolph debacle, and their defense was playing better than it has in the past, but their offense was falling apart. James Conner was falling apart. Juju was off and on. He played well, some games he was playing better in others. Late season, he took a rise. But, I mean, did we really need him in? And the Rams. I mean, the Rams were in the Super Bowl just a season ago, and they can't even crack just over 500 schedule, 500 record on a schedule. I mean, and they can't be the best team in the NFC West. I mean, they were just in the Super Bowl, and we saw how they performed in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Not like they played very well. And so when you really look at it, I mean, did we really need the Rams or Steelers in the playoffs? I don't think that either one really deserved a shot. And it just kind of odd, because then now you're going to have that top team. Only one top team gets a first round bye. I mean, I feel like you more or less have those two top seeds mean more to the playoffs than having a team like the Steelers or Rams included as a bottom feeder kind of team in a playoffs setup. I just personally don't like that part of it, but I do can see why the CBA was kind of written up in this way. I mean, it does make sense, because it's like, oh, well, hey, we're going to expand the regular season, but your teams are going to expand. You get more players, you get more help, and you get you get extra opportunities to make the playoffs. So now an extra team's going to make the playoffs, and so you have an extra game, but, you know, more chances at postseason and more players getting into the postseason and la-di-da-di-da. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, you know what, that's more money, more teams, more money, more schedule. They might have to even play on Monday night, which, okay, Monday night playoffs? Come on, that sounds awesome. But we'll see how this all rattles out. I don't think that's a part that anybody's really disagreeing with. When it comes to the players and not wanting to vote yes or no or whatnot, I think having an extra team's not really going to make a difference to them when it comes down to it. In addition to adding regular season matchups for every team, there's also not going to be an extra bye. So that's one part that guys like Richard Sherman, J.J. Watt, guys that have dealt with injuries in the past, actually are a little bit against, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. And the proposed CBA limits the number of international games teams can play. It also reduces the number of training camp practices from 28 to 16. So, interestingly enough, I mean, they're building this new stadium and the Stoutenburg or whatever out there in London, and the Jags are going to be playing numerous games out there this next upcoming season. But they are limiting these new international games. So, it's, you know, they're kind of going back and forth with it. So we're going to see how this goes on. Obviously, the NFL is playing in Mexico and then plays its games over in the UK. But interesting with that tidbit. I don't think that's one part that anybody's really noting on, is that they're actually cutting down international. If you really think about it, the NFL has seemed in the last few years that they were expanding more internationally, wanting to get out more. They're pushing their players more. But that's one part, to see them cut back on that. Does it seem like the NFL is going to start cutting back on its international efforts? I mean, it seems like for the last few years, it's tried to match what the NBA has done overseas with China and getting across. And obviously, soccer is so international. But that was an interesting tidbit. It also reduces, like I said, the number of training camp practices from 28 to 16. So, you know, less time in the off season that you have to be in training camp, less time that you have to be, you know, doing that. And you can get a little bit more time for your personal life, because we know NFL guys are, you know, 24/7 during the regular season. Rosters would also expand by two players, 53 to 55, with 48 players able to dress for games rather than the current 46. Like I said earlier, This is kind of one thing that, you know, like I said, it really just kind of helps them really kind of negotiate their CBA when it comes to the NFL owners. And it's smart. It's a really smart move to say, hey, well, you're going to get more help. I mean, anybody in any career field knows that when they get more help, that's going to help them do a little bit better in their tasks. They just have more hands. The minimum salary for rookies is expected to increase by $100,000 in 2020. So that's, you know, that's good. More rookies making a little bit more money. Additionally, owners and the league are set to relax their league penalties on marijuana and put player discipline for off-the-field incidents in the hands of a neutral arbitrator rather than Commissioner Roger Goodell. Now, I think this is the part that we should all be clapping about. Finally, Roger Goodell. I bet Roger Goodell put that part in there himself. He said, look, I'm stepping back from all this. I'm not dealing with this anymore. I take too much flack. I think we should just send it to an arbitrator, because really, ultimately, it just goes to negotiations anyways. Roger Goodell comes out and says, oh, I'm going to suspend you this. And then they're like, oh, well, we're going to appeal it and blah, 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 and go back and forth. So why not? Just go straight to the courts. Increasing rookie salaries, which is always good. You know, the younger players coming into the game are going to make a little bit more money. Obviously, that's the base salary. That's not talking about, you know, what Joe Burrow is going to make or coming out. You know, those guys are going to make top level money. So that's definitely not really what they're talking about with that one. But taking the stuff out of Roger Goodell's hands is really going to be a big move, and that should be talked about more. But obviously, the NFL players are really fighting back on the fact that they just don't want to do the extra game. You know, at first, it made a lot of sense that the extra game was, you know, going to be like a $250,000 check, and it wasn't going to be like the regular game check. But last Tuesday night, they went to some negotiations late in the night at a dinner. The Players Association and the NFL owners, they hashed out something where now they're going to get an extra check just like they would get for the rest of the 16 games. So now it's kind of starting to wash around, but it feels rushed because a lot of the NFL owners have put this deal together that they're getting a lot. The players are getting a lot with it, but you could still see the argument in it. With a lot of these hurdles still to clear, the league is set to vote on this at some point. The players have not really said when they're going to vote on this. This could be within hours, weeks, days. You know, obviously can't be too many months. It has to take effect before March 18th. That's the start of the new league year. The NFL owners could technically push that league year back, but then the players would probably, you know, sit on it even longer. So this is going back and forth and really is something you want to keep an eye on, because this could result in another lockout. I know a lot of people don't want to hear, you know, the nasty word lockout, and especially with the NFL, and especially how well it's been doing in the last few years. But the players, you know, stand up and want to get a little bit more out of this, which is agreeable. I mean, there's a lot of cases where, you know, the players, you know, haven't been able to make as much where the NFL owners are making, but I mean, it's a give and take. So that's where this has kind of been split down. It's a 16-17 vote, I believe, between the 6-5 against the proposed CBA. When you look at the players' executive board, so they voted 6-5 against it. So that's a pretty split vote. That could have split 6-5 the another way. So I mean, definitely something to keep your eye on. They have another 4-hour conference coming up. But it was supposed to take place yesterday, but didn't end up taking place. So a big thing to keep your eye on with this coming up, because this has to be hashed out by March 18th, or we could have another lockout. And when it comes to players that are against this, it comes like the Pouncey twins, Richard Sherman, who obviously, I mean, I don't think anybody, when you saw an extra game, Richard Sherman was definitely going to be one of them against it. Russell Wilson, J.J. Watt, and surprisingly, as of late, Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers has come out against the new CBA. So a lot of marquee players are against this new deal. So we'll just see how this rolls out and how this goes. And you got the XFL, though. So as long as you got the XFL, you have something else to kind of keep your eye on. But anyways, that's enough for all that CBA drama, blah, blah, blah. We're going to cut to a real quick break. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about free agents, free agency tags, and some more frenzy about where all these guys could be moving this offseason. So don't you go anywhere. You're listening to the Blitz Football Podcast. Talk to you when we come back. Alrighty, welcome back to the Blitz Football Podcast. And as promised, we're going to get into some of these NFL free agents coming up this offseason, breaking down our top 10 free agents. Don't want to dive too far deep into this because it can be a rabbit hole of a conversation. But number one, and this guy you just want to get out of the way, is Dak Prescott. Let's be honest. The Cowboys didn't get a deal done with Dak, but Dak's going to be franchise tagged. They're going to get a deal done, but I don't think he made himself I don't think he really did enough to make himself in the position to get that big money contract that he wants to get to try to match with a lot of the other NFL quarterbacks around the league. But, I see the Cowboys in a position where they can franchise Dak, keep him around, do a new deal, hopefully next season, and see how he plays and see how it hashes out. But at 27, I don't see them letting him go and him go and find another team. I definitely so don't see the Cowboys wanting to restart. Without Dak, it just, let's be honest with ourselves, that's definitely a franchise tag situation right there. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happened very early on in the franchise tag and the free agency process. The next one up, Tom Brady. Now, we just talked about Tom Brady is leaving the Patriots. More than likely for this conversation, he's leaving the Patriots. If we're talking free agency at this point, we could start talking about him leaving. And the biggest report, and a lot of insiders and a lot of people close to Tom Brady have said that he could more than likely go to the Titans. Now, the Titans, that's a pretty good situation. You have Derrick Henry, who's a beast of a running back. I mean, dude's like 6'6", 250-something pounds. I mean, the dude is a monster. They have A.J. Brown. They have a great offensive line. The defense is just played really well last year. The secondary is just lights out. I mean, it's a good team and it's a good situation. And then you have Mike Vrabel, who played for the Patriots, and it just seems just right when it comes to Tom Brady. Now, there were a lot of talks that Ryan Tannehill was going to carry on as the Titans quarterback, and they weren't going to make any decisions about moving on from him. But a guy like Tom Brady out there, I mean, that's definitely – definitely something I know that you got to know the Titans are keeping their eye on. And another one is, I mean, the Raiders, I guess. I don't know why so many people think the Raiders are going to – I mean, why were the Raiders? I mean, they possibly are going to offer him a two-year, $60 million contract. I mean, the only reason that you would do that is that you're moving into Las Vegas. The John Gruden got the 10-year, $100 million contract. But I just don't see why. I mean, I think you could even invest in a rookie. Derek Carr is there. I mean, I really don't see the reason why the Raiders would want to do that. They have holes across the board that they could fill other than just trying to bring in Tom Brady and work something. I mean, there's really not much there. I mean, their offensive line's not even that great. So really don't like the move for the Raiders. So that would be an unfortunate move going into Las Vegas here. And the Chargers. The Chargers are another one, though, that I kind of like. And that's kind of the wild card when it comes to Tom Brady, I think, is the Chargers. The Chargers are actually a very good situation. Granted, what goes on with Melvin Gordon this offseason and if they move on from, but if Tom Brady, comes to the Chargers, I bet you they somehow find a way to keep Melvin Gordon around. And you look at kind of that offense. I mean, Keenan Allen, it's a pretty good offense and situation for a guy like Brady. The offensive line is par. It's okay. I mean, it could be a lot better, and that's one thing that the Chargers would have to kind of sacrifice in bringing in Tom Brady. They wouldn't really have a lot of the wiggle room to kind of help him out in that way. But if they were able to keep Melvin Gordon around and have Tom Brady and they had Keenan Allen and Williams, it's just that's
they definitely have a situation there where they can move the ball around, and their defense is good. It's a pretty good defense. I think it's been overrated over the last few years, and hasn't really lived up to par, and up to kind of the hype that they've been given. But I like the Chargers as my wild card. I would say that the Titans are the favorite, but the Chargers are the wild card when it comes to it. And like I kind of snuck in earlier, expect the Broncos to kind of be in play. The Broncos found a way. John Elway found a way with Peyton. Now, I don't know if Brady would do the same thing, because obviously he's very competitive and very competitive with Peyton Manning. So I don't know if Tom Brady would do the same thing, but don't count out John Elway from finding a way to move a quarterback. Possibly they need a quarterback there with the Broncos, and the Broncos are okay. And they're okay on offense. I mean, I would put them just right along with the Raiders. I mean, Josh Jacobs is probably a little bit better than Philip Lindsay, but I mean, the Broncos defense is pretty decent. You know, Von Miller, I mean, he's still playing pretty damn well. The Broncos don't count out guys like John Elway or even Jerry Jones with the Cowboys. But I think Jones is going to say, hey, you know, we're going to franchise Dak, and we're going to stick around with the process, because that's what the smart thing is to do. And hopefully that's what the Cowboys do. I mean, they've been relatively conservative with quarterbacks, with guys like Tom Brady, Tony Romo, I mean. Drew Bledsoe back in the day. I mean, really, obviously, Bledsoe's injuries what brought in, you know, Romo. Romo's injuries what brought in Dak. It's not like they're like, oh, hey, we're going to go grab and go get guys. So, I mean, I don't think the Cowboys or Jerry Jones is really that type of guy, but Elway's really not got a guy there. He brought in Flacco, but I mean, really, I mean, they could move on from Flacco, if not probably will move on from Flacco. They could kind of put in the play. I don't know. I wouldn't count out Elway, but I would say my official wild card would be the Chargers for sure, because they got rid of Philip Rivers. They have the hole there. They probably have one of the best offenses. If you kind of, you know, right behind the Titans and possibly the Colts, if the Colts put themselves in play, but the Chargers, you know, West Coast, Brady goes back to the West Coast. Could be an interesting situation there. Another one there is Drew Brees. A lot of, you know, reports with the Saints in their quarterback situation, what they got going on, Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Brees. And I look at it like this. I really think that Sean Payton's going to try to finish it out next few years. I think he's going to say, you know what, we're going to commit to next few years. We're going to let Brees come back, you know, one, two more seasons best. And put up some big numbers and try to get us back in the Super Bowl, because the Saints have gotten in the playoffs each of the last few seasons. And with Drew Brees and with Sean Payton, I feel like they're just going to commit to what they have going on, and they're going to go all chips on the table. I think they'll find a way to keep their kind of their gadget player kind of around. But when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater, I just don't see the Saints. I mean, they brought him in. It's kind of a project. I think he outplayed his situation. I don't think the Saints really believed that Bridgewater was going to have the impact that he did when he came in last season. So I think when you look at it, I think they're gonna shop Bridgewater. They let him go, and he probably is going to make big money somewhere else. And that's going to come probably out after wherever Tom Brady lands, because that he's going to be the number one on a lot of people's radar. Another one is Jadeveon Clowney. I could see the Seahawks working a deal with Clowney. I mean, I just don't see why you make a deal for a guy a season ago. I never like it when NFL teams do this. Make a deal for a guy a season ago, and then he's gone. Same with the Cowboys, with Amari Cooper. Now, this is tough because you have Dak and Cooper. But I think you franchise Dak, you make a deal with Cooper. I just don't see either one of those guys really leaving the Cowboys. I mean, that trio is what the Cowboys and Jerry Jones have to keep around to keep the ship afloat, keep the fans, you know, kind of with that hope that the Cowboys fans are, you know, known for. You can't get rid of any of those guys, for sure. And then the last one I'm going to touch on is AJ Green. AJ Green's an interesting one because he's a veteran guy. He's dealt with a lot of injuries, leaving the Bengals, but he's only 32. Definitely has a few seasons left in him. Was an elite level wide receiver just a few years ago. But it's interesting to see what team's going to be willing to take a flyer on Green. The Packers obviously are needed wide receivers. The Jets are going to be getting rid of a few wide receivers, so they could be open to grabbing a guy like Green. But you know, I would look for him to find a spot where he's going to be, you know, a veteran leadership kind of guy. And that's where I think the Raiders could kind of come in. They do need a wide receiver, but they have a lot of young players. They have a ton of young players. They have two veteran coaches. I mean, not veteran coaches in the way of that, but they've been around the game a lot. Well, John Gruden's a veteran coach. He's been around a long time. Mike Mayock, you know, obviously veteran analyst and getting into being a GM. But I think bringing in a guy like AJ Green, and this is the big reason why Larry Fitzgerald's sticking around for yet another season with the Arizona Cardinals, is that he's bringing up, you know, Kyler Murray and that young offense. They were one of the youngest teams. And he's that veteran leadership. And I think AJ Green could come out and be that. I know the Bengals are just dysfunctional across the board, and Green's really fallen out of place there. But I think when he goes to if he went to the Raiders, a young team like that, he could really, you know, inspire a guy like, you know, guys like Josh Jacobs and even Derek Carr, and while giving them an opportunity to have another guy to get the ball to and a wide receiver where they desperately need one. So that's it for free agency, that free agency frenzy and all that going on. So we're going to move on to the next part of the show. All righty, switching over a bit now over to the XFL and the crazy week that was week 3 of XFL action. And first game we're going to touch on was the absolute surprise of the weekend. The Wildcats upset the DC Defenders 39-9 on Sunday. I mean, an absolute blowout and a surprise for anybody that wasn't reading any of my articles a week ago where I talked about the Wildcats possibly upsetting the Defenders. Now, I put it at like a 24-21 kind of score. I didn't imagine that this was kind of what was going to go down when it came to the game. But, you know, the Defenders did pretty well on the ground. They rushed for over about 200 yards, while the Wildcats only had about 56 yards on the ground. But the biggest part of it was through the air. The just Defenders were not very good. 90 yards through the air, where the Wildcats had 278 yards through the air. Cardale Jones had 4 interceptions and no touchdowns with a 50% completion rating. He was 13 for 26, 103 yards. Just terrible, terrible day by Cardale Jones. And while Josh Johnson was 18 for 25, 72% completion rating and 3 touchdowns. Just, I mean, there's not much you can really get into this one, that the Wildcats just own the game from out the gate. I felt like the biggest part of this was that the Defenders, it's that first game, you see them go cross country to LA. They're going from the Washington, D.C. area all the way across to LA. And they obviously just that lag and having to get ready for a game, that obviously had an effect on the Defenders, and they are undefeated no more. Falling to the Wildcats 39-9. On to the next game that was a big surprise for myself, and it's kind of starting to be, you know, more and more every week, is the Seattle Dragons fell to the Dallas Renegades 24-12. The Renegades' Cameron Artis Payne had 13 carries for 80 yards and no touchdowns. Landry Jones was 30 for 41, 73% completion rating, 274 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions, while Brandon Silvers for the Seattle Dragons had 21 completions for 34 attempts, 62% completion rating, 204 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. You know, I'm getting more and more surprised week over week with the Seattle Dragons. I felt like, you know, they were going to be, you know, a team to watch, was getting underestimated in the preseason. And then with the turnout in attendance, you had to feel like they were going to have that motivation, that second home game of the season. They had a huge turnout again, but the Dallas Renegades came through. The Renegades were highly speculated as one of the best teams in the league during the offseason, and they're starting to make that way back. They fell in the first week and definitely did not look good, but they're starting to work their way back. into the fold, and people are starting to get a little bit more faith into the Renegades a bit. They'll be back at home this week in the battle for Texas against the Houston Roughnecks. But the next game we're going to touch on is the New York Guardians visited the St. Louis Battlehawks, the first game in the Dome for the XFL season, and the Battlehawks absolutely owned the Guardians 29-9. Matt McGloin just eight completions for 11 attempts, 73 yards, 73% completion rating, 84 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. They had a little bit of a quarterback rotation going on, that which also included AAF standout Luis Perez, was four completions for five attempts, 80% completion rating, 39 yards, and one touchdown. The only passing touchdown by any Guardians quarterback on the day, but just was not a very good day for them. They did a little bit better on the ground, where they just got over about 100 yards total, but the Battlehawks owned. TAMU, 12 completions, 18 attempts, 67% completion rating, and 119 yards, but the Battlehawks completely owned on the ground, where they came away with 156 total rushing yards. Just definitely owned at home for the first game of the season, and was really big for the XFL. Huge turnout. I believe it was over 29,000 something, a little bit, just almost cracked that 30,000 number. And a lot of people think that as things go, if they open more spots in that dome, they could definitely crack that. There was a huge turnout in that first game there. You see, I almost lost my, and the last game I wanted to touch on, almost lost my stats there, but I'm not gonna lose my stats. The Houston Roughnecks were actually in a game with the Tampa Bay Vipers. That game, a lot of people didn't think the Vipers coming into it winless on the season, but the Roughnecks just got out of the game 34-27. The Roughnecks continue to be undefeated. They had 115 total rushing yards, 302 total passing yards, while the Vipers had 236 total passing yards and 129 rushing yards. But, you know, the biggest story here is P.J. Walker. P.J. Walker continues to just amaze across the board. 24 completions, 36 attempts, a 67% completion rating, but over 300 passing yards. The only quarterback on the week to crack 300 passing yards and three touchdowns. P.J. Walker is making his huge case to be the first XFL MVP. So definitely, you know, something to keep your eye on. Switching over to the Vipers, like I said earlier, I didn't really like the rotation with them. Cornelius had 193 yards passing, 16 for 31 attempts, had a touchdown and an interception. But Quentin Flowers, you know, he was getting things going. He had four completions for six attempts, in 51 yards. But, you know, I felt like there was more coming with him, because he was getting more on the ground. He had six rushes, 29 yards, and a touchdown, which really motivated that offense. But they decided to keep the rotation going. I feel like kind of affected their momentum. And the Roughnecks, P.J. Walker, that offense, they just continue to amaze. And like I said, they go on to face the Dallas Renegades this week in the battle for Texas. So we'll see how it turns out. A lot of people thought the Dallas Renegades were the best team in the league in the preseason. And now it looks like the Houston Roughnecks, no one's going to beat them. So it's going to be an interesting matchup this week. And just in time, coming up is my picks. So let's switch it over to my picks for week four of the XFL action. Alrighty. Now, real quick, before we wrap up the show today, you got my XFL picks for the week four action. First one's up. You have the Los Angeles Wildcats at the New York Guardians. The Guardians are +7 on this game, so huge underdogs. It's going to be interesting to see how many people turn out to this game. It's going to be in the mid-30s. It is going to be sunny, but it is going to be a chilly day. But most people in New York are used to the mid-30s, so it should be a decent day enough. But that may affect the LA Wildcats. Again, on that cross-country trip, they just
whooped on the defenders. So actually in this game, it's going to be interesting enough. I'm actually going to take the New York Guardians plus 7. I like the number. I like them getting 7 in this game. Mind you, all these numbers, all the spreads we're talking about are via William Hill, Nevada. We are here in Las Vegas, so obviously I have access and I, you know, pay attention to numbers because I make these bets myself. So I'm going to be taking the numbers that I'm picking right here. So here we got the New York Guardians plus 7 at home. I like that number. I see the Wildcats going across the country. It's going to be a little cold. I like that. I like that pick there. The next one up, you got the Seattle Dragons. Oh my goodness. Plus 12 going to St. Louis. Let's just say right now, give me that number right there. Give me it right there. I'm going to take the Seattle Dragons plus 12 all day going to St. Louis. I get it. St. Louis is good. TAMU's good, but Silvers is good too, and this offense is good. This defense is pretty darn good. The Seattle Dragons have already traveled around. They went to DC earlier in the season. I don't see any reason anybody should take the St. Louis Battlehawks this week, minus 12. Yes, they're good. They're going to win the game. They're going to beat Seattle. I'll be honest, Seattle's got some problems. They got to work on some stuff in the passing game, and Silvers has just got to work on a little bit more of his just getting things going, but and they're on the road. I know it's going to be loud. I know it's going to be the dome, but plus 12, come on, give them a little more respect. Obviously the numbers are going to continue to be crazy in the next game because you got the Houston Roughnecks at the Dallas Renegades. Oh, I misread that. I thought that said 11. It actually says 1.5. Never mind. It's not a crazy number. It's 1.5, which is almost a toss up. But you got the Houston Roughnecks at the Dallas Renegades. This is a really tough game. But at the end of the day, I think I'm going to take the Roughnecks minus 1.5 points. I like the favorites here. I think the Roughnecks are going to squeak out the win. They're on the road, but I feel like they're going to have a lot of representation from the Houston crowd and the here in the nearby Texas area. So I like Houston in this one, minus 1.5 points. And in the last matchup of the weekend, you got the DC Defenders coming off a butt whooping against the LA Wildcats, going up against the Tampa Bay Vipers. The DC Defenders are minus 2.5 in this game. It's interesting here where you're going to go out with this one. I kind of like the Defenders to bounce back. I think they're going to win by a decent number. I think they'll cover this minus 2.5 number. They'll win by a field goal, if not a touchdown. But it's definitely something to keep your eye on because that's an interesting number and expect it to move a little bit because I bet a lot of people are going to crunch that 2.5 number and for the DC Defenders. But anyways, to wrap up the picks for the week, I got the New York Guardians plus 7 against the LA Wildcats, the Seattle Dragons plus 12 at the St. Louis Battlehawks, Houston Roughnecks minus 1.5 at the Dallas Renegades, and the DC Defenders minus 2.5 at the Tampa Bay Vipers. So a lot of road picks this week. Currently, we are 7-5 against the spread. So doing pretty well, breaking that 500 number. We hope to do a little bit better this week. Had 2 weeks in a row where we've gone 3-1. So big stuff going on. The first week, obviously, we went 1-3. But through 2 weeks, we've gone 3-1. Hopefully, this week, we're going to go 4-0. And that's that. That's your week 4 XFL picks against the spread. Alrighty, I want to thank all of you for listening to another episode of the Blitz Football Podcast. If you want to follow the show, follow us on Twitter at Blitz_NFL. That's at Blitz_NFL. And like I said earlier in the show, like us on Facebook, the Blitz Football Network, and go visit the website at theblitz.guru. A lot of ways to stay up with the show, stay up with the news and the beats on the NFL. And another thing, if you're interested in getting involved in podcasting, writing, anything that's to go on with football, we're an open network, so reach out to us, see how you want to get involved. Come on and be a writer, podcaster, anything you want to do, and we'll help you get it going. So reach out to the Blitz Football Network. Like I said, now you can reach out to us on Facebook. Also, if you love the show, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes or anywhere you're listening, Spotify, across the board. Really means a lot to the growth of the show and everything going on. And I hope you really enjoyed it. If you have anything, any comments, anything you have to say about anything that went on today, you can always DM us, send us a message on Facebook.
You can also, if you're listening on Anchor, you can leave a recording. Would love to do a grab bag session at some time. Look forward to the next episode of the Blitz Football Podcast coming up next week on Tuesday. So till then, enjoy some XFL football this weekend. Check us out on Facebook and stay safe. Peace out.